time for another episode of Christian Polito Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
And of course, as we come out of the music, we have chair aerobics going on in the studio.
I was doing my arms to the music.
Now you're doing your arms to hitting your microphone.
I bumped the wire.
Yeah, stop bumping stuff.
I'm going to come over there and bump you on the noggin.
You're feeling spunky over there.
Yes.
Yes.
My word of the day, spitfire.
Mary.
Beth.
See, that's all I got to do to introduce you now.
Spitfire.
Spitfire.
That's my code name.
All right, code name. You got something to start us off with tonight?
I do. Tonight's reading is called Sons of Wrath. You ever notice that we got like a theme going on here about like death and destruction? It says, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. That's from Luke 9:55. The context of this rebuke from Jesus was the occasion when the disciples saw those with whom they disagreed and wanted to call fire down from the heavens and kill them. Jesus told them that the spirit was the evil spirit that works within the sons of disobedience. Before we came to the Savior, the devil was our father, and we were held captive by him to do his will. We do his will when we are bitter and angry without cause, and when we lie, steal, kill, commit adultery, hate, lust, rape, and murder. As Christians, we now have the wisdom of the Word, a tender conscience, and the indwelling Holy Spirit to restrain us from evil. But before we were saved and people ran contrary to us, we acted like spoiled children who can have their way. We would gladly call fire down from heaven, just like the disciples wanted to. That's the spirit that works within the world. Road rage isn't confined to the road. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. That's from Colossians 3:5-7. The soul search tonight is love and kindness at the core of everything I do? And the prayer is, Father, let your love shine through me today.
That's actually quite interesting.
It always is.
Well, because tonight I'm going to have a buzzword, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there's something that goes along with that buzzword that I'm going to want you to think about.
Okay.
So the buzzword for tonight is faith. Faith has been on my mind pretty heavy the last few days with everything that's going on in the news and going on around the world. So we need to think about faith. And there's something else I want you to think about when I say faith, every time I say faith. I want you to think about a mustard seed. Do you know how big a mustard seed is?
Yes. When I was a child, I had a necklace that had a mustard seed in it.
Well, to go along with that and thinking about faith, do you know how many mustard seeds there are per pound and like per an acre?
Like gazillions.
So if you say you have the faith of a mustard seed, what's the yield of that? So there are approximately 100,000 seeds per pound and in an acre of land, and you say the higher rate should be used on heavy and highly fertile soils, you can get as much as 14 pounds an acre or 1.4 million mustard seeds in an acre.
I want to know who counted those.
Well, that's not important. Who counted them? I didn't count them. There's actually mustard publications that actually published this stuff. And to think about faith, and every time we talk about faith and thinking about that grain of mustard seed and about the yield of that mustard seed, every time we mention faith tonight, that's what I want people to think about. faith. So, leading on up into tonight, boy, has it been a wacky week.
Yes.
You know, we still got a lot of heavy things going on, not in just this country, but around the world, you know, with COVID, and now all the mandates and things, and it's a bit confusing when people talk about getting a shot and whether or not, you know, you get one that was made for one thing and now they want you to take it for a new variant. What you think about that?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm not telling people not to get a vaccine. If you feel strongly about it and it's right for you, you need to go for it. You need to do what is right for you and what you think is right for your body. But for my body, that's a no.
I think if you think it's right for you medically and your doctor advises you, and that's what you want to do, yay, do that. But I'm not going to stand here and tell people that don't get it, boo, you're wrong. And that's exactly what we're living in right now. These are the times that we're living in. Now, you know, you got the president of the United States going around saying things like, well, you know, if you haven't got the shot by now or got the jab by now, then you're not as smart as I thought you were.
Well, he's not as smart as he thinks he is.
You know, and then you got all those all the Democrats from Texas who pulled that stunt on the plane and left Texas and went to D.C., and then a whole bunch of them ended up getting COVID.
Right, and, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I do believe I saw Nancy Pelosi without her mask on in public.
Well, you know, it's really funny you mention that. You know why? Because she has put her brakes on. She has, like, done a complete backpedal.
Oh, say it ain't so.
Capitol Police ordered to arrest staff and visitors not wearing masks after Newhouse mandate.
So here's what I'm saying is the rules are for thee and not for me. That seems to be the government theme.
Yep. Well, you know, they were advised not to arrest members of Congress for failing to wear a mask, but report the lawmakers' noncompliance to the House Sergeant at Arms. The memo says House members have been subjected to fines starting at $500 for skirting mask rules.
Ooh.
You know, this is what really gets in my crawl. So, you got the government pushing and pushing and pushing. It wasn't good enough to say we're going to have 75% or 70% or 50% by the 4th of July. Now it's like we want everybody. Here's my question. What about the tens of thousands of people that are crossing the border illegally? The high majority of them have COVID.
Yeah, I was listening to something this morning, and the number that they say that has crossed the border at this point is somewhere around 2 million. I don't know if that's a correct number. I don't know if that's a blown out of proportion number. I'm just saying that's the number that I heard. And that there was an interview with a high-ranking official in Texas. I can't remember what he did, but he was talking about the fact that hotels that are within that border area, you know, I guess before they get on the bus kind of thing, that are filled with people crossing the border, that 90% of those people have tested positive for COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just running rampant. They're just running rampant around the country. And, you know, our own president is using words like murderer about people that are not getting vaccinated, you know, and that we should be, those that, and I say we because I haven't been vaccinated, but that we should be basically stigmatized by this, and that we owe it to the country to get it for ourselves. But it's okay if you're not from here to be wandering around and breathing on people.
Well, it's there was a little bit of what little bit I heard today of what he was saying. There was still that how they're trying to use emotional. They're trying to put emotion into it. And he was talking about a person not getting vaccinated and dying and saying, oh, only if I'd gotten the vaccine, I would live. And he said it just like that.
Well, I'm just going to say that, I mean, and I can speak for both of us, but back January 2020, you and I both had COVID.
And before it was even. We don't even know how we got it.
Yeah. And
so it was already here, people.
Yeah. And, you know, we didn't know what we had, so we didn't understand that there was a possibility.
It was
that
the quote-unquote flu.
Right.
Is what we were told.
Right. And, you know, we lost our sense of taste and smell for a couple months. You know, we were in bed for a week. And that was really fun because it was like, is it your turn or my turn to go out and get us something to drink?
Well, I mean, they're not even considering the people like us that have had it and may have antibodies and immunities. They're not even considering that. They're saying everybody should get it. And they're saying that even if you've got it, you should wear a mask.
Right. And the fact of the matter is that even people that have been vaxxed, double vaxxed, are carrying this and they're getting it again. And they're also, even if they don't get it, well, they don't show symptoms of having it again, they're still contagious and they're still carriers mm-hmm. for it and they're passing it on. So, I mean, there's not a good way to look at this. It's like either you get vaccinated and you keep getting the different variants, you don't get vaccinated, you get the different variants. But the thing that they're not focusing on is the fact that, you know, people are staying alive.
Well, even though he sits here and claims that there's nothing quote-unquote political, there's those air quotes nobody can see, about the vaccine, you know, he still injects that, you know, us versus them, you know, political bifurcation into it. Well, that was a big word, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Ooh.
Ooh. That was like a 75 center right there.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what gets in my craw is the fact that the emotions that they're trying to bring out in people mm-hmm. are not those of good nature. It's those that really are starting to grate on the nerves of those people who are trying to stand firm in their decision to not have this. And, you know, now with this federal mandate that they've come out with that, you know, all federal workers have to have the vaccine. And if you don't have the vaccine, then you're going to be subjected to COVID tests every day, which is stupid and ridiculous. I mean, among everything else, because, I mean, it would be at my own place of work, because I am not vaccinated, I have to do a temperature check every day. And I have to sign in for that. That I don't mind doing. Because if my temperature is elevated, regardless of what I might have, I don't want to be at work.
Well, if your temperature is elevated because of anything, you shouldn't be.
Exactly.
You know, but all that's been thrown to the wayside. Forget the same amount of people or more die from the flu and, you know, things like that.
Did we have flu season this year?
You know, the thing is, and I said this before, this whole thing with them wanting to get everybody, I heard it this morning. They want everyone to get it, and they want everyone in, they let this word slip out, database.
Oh, yeah, vaccine passport. That's rearing its ugly head again, too, because now they want people to be able to present that. But is that not a violation of HIPAA laws?
Yeah.
Is not all of this a violation of HIPAA laws?
Well, I got one word for you. France. Look at what's going on over there right now because of them saying that they were going to have to show proof of this to get into even a restaurant or anything. It's kind of crazy. The thing is, they sit here and say they want to regain normalcy, but there is nothing normal about what's going on.
Well, it's like...
it's money.
And it's like one hand not knowing what the other hand's doing because, you know, on this hand, that's exactly what they're saying is they want this normalcy thing, but they are doing everything but returning to normalcy. I mean, you would think that even with those folks that have had the vaccine, that, you know, there would start to be a herd immunity. But, you know, and stop me if I'm wrong, because, you know, I'm not a scientist, and I only know what I hear, what I read, but it seems like when a virus mutates, that it's actually becoming less virulent. You know, it's still contagious. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, you have the first strain that hit everybody and knocked everybody cold, and then we've had, you know, two more that, you know, mutations that we've already been through, and now there's this fourth one. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's not horrible. I'm not saying that people aren't getting sick. I'm not saying it's not serious. But I don't think, I mean, yeah, there's a spike in cases, but I don't think that it's very clear where those spikes are happening. You know, is there a direct correlation with where these people crossing the border are getting, like, bussed to? Mm-hmm. Is that where the spikes are happening? Because if that's really what's happening, then that is what needs to be told to the American people, but that'll never happen. I don't understand why our government thinks it's better for us not to know the truth than to know the truth.
Right.
Are we not adult enough for that?
I really don't know. I mean, there's more to this than meets the eye, especially with the mask guidelines. It's not about science.
No.
It's not about the science at all.
No.
It's about control, and it's about them being able to see how far they're going to make people bend. And that's where, you know, as Christians, you know, we can't walk in fear of COVID. I mean, if we're going to get COVID, we're going to get COVID.
Yep.
But your faith, there's a buzzword, your faith and God is going to lead you past any of that. Your faith and prayer for healing can get past COVID. I've already had it. I'm not concerned about getting it. But, you know, for me, for my family, and for my decisions, I mean, personally, like you said earlier, I don't think that for us, the vaccine is the right decision, but there are people out there to do, and I'm not going to bang anything against them, and they shouldn't say anything against us, but that's what's going on. There's still tension. Nothing else is working, so they want to pit us against each other.
Well, you know, and I think that, you know, when on the show last week, you know, we were talking about, that town hall mm-hmm. that was being held in Florida. And, you know, I made mention that the COVID issue came up and it was, well, you know, I've had the vaccine and I encourage people to get the vaccine, but you should have a choice. Okay, that is like saying something and then like immediately backpedaling over it. I think that If you personally have been vaccinated, then that is the choice that you've made. And heck yes, encourage people to do it because you thought it was right for you. You thought it was the right decision for your family if everyone got vaccinated and so on and so forth. But don't make it seem like, well, I made this choice and you should make this choice, but you should have a choice.
Yep.
Because that, in other words, that's still saying that the people that did not get vaccinated are wrong.
I think they want to take the choice away.
Absolutely.
Ultimately, that's what they want.
Absolutely. And I showed you that Associated Press tweet that was on Twitter this morning, and I showed you all those reactions of people, and I said, this is definitely something that we can bring up on the show. Because basically what the AP said was nothing that you haven't already heard, I'm sure, on the news, which is about the federal mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And the reaction of the people that were commenting on this was like, oh, I can't wait until they make my company do it because I've had the vaccine and everyone should have the vaccine that I'm working with. Well, if you've had the vaccine, you shouldn't be worried about if anybody else did because you're supposed to be protected.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing, I mean, we could sit here and beat up the horse for hours about all this. And I mean, there's so much going on. And what it boils down to, I mean, if you're listening to the news, if you're listening to multiple news sources, let's put it that way, where you actually hear the rhetoric and the things that are being released and the things that are being said. I mean, so far this week, we've been between last week and this week, you got Facebook being called murderers. Now you got people that don't want to get the vaccine or may even have immunity being called murderers. You've got people that don't want to get the vaccine or may be immune being called not smart. You've got all these different things being said. And what it boils down to, you're not playing the game I want to play, so I want you to take your toys and go home.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, you've got in the news again this week, Fauci.
Huh.
Fauci the flip-flop.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've gone from mask to no mask to mask to no mask to mask to no mask to, hey, even if you've been vaxxed, you need to have a mask, wear a mask in public and private, you know, whatever. And last week it was still kind of a no mask, you're fine if you've been vaccinated. And then this week it's like all school children should be wearing a mask, you know, from the age of 2 up. And even if you've been vaccinated, you should be walking around with a mask. We should shut down again. We should do this. We should do. And it's like your head is spinning. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, at this point. And this was part of the conversation that you and I had last night, which is, you know, it doesn't matter what news source you're watching or reading or listening to or whatever. It's you're starting to hear like a blending of a lot of things. I mean, I'm not saying there still aren't conservative shows and liberal shows and that sort of thing. But really, it's starting to all get kind of mixed together and glossed over.
Well, one thing that can't be denied is that they replayed a news clip from, I think, sometime around July 4th,
mm-hmm.
where reporters were asking Biden a lot of questions about different things, and he made the comment, oh, you guys are bad. You guys are going to get me in trouble. I'm not supposed to be answering these things now. That's not the first time he said something like that, but he is so, and I mean, really, if you sit there and look at it, he is so protected by the media and by, you know, his people, his crew, that, you know, they're pretty much telling him what he can answer. I mean, can the man not speak for himself?
No.
But when he does, it comes out like everything backwards SS comes out. You know?
No, it was really funny. I'm so glad you said that, because there was a clip of him this week where he was prepared to talk about COVID and all of these different things. And a reporter, not an approved reporter, but a reporter, just sort of injected a question into the conversation with him and asked him about Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And he went, it sounded crazy. And I mean, basically, I mean, it was unintelligible what he said.
Well, he was talking about COVID and another thing, and ends up talking about aliens and
yes.
space. And
yes.
And I'm like, I mean, honestly, it makes me sad, because you don't know if he realizes, if he actually realizes what he's doing. But I mean, that's signs of mental capacity issues.
Yes. And there are several senators and representatives that want him to be, to have a cognitive test like yesterday.
Well, you know, something else is starting to blow up in everybody's face that's become quite evident over, I don't know, this past month even.
Mm-hmm.
900 plus shootings in 1 week.
Probably like 50% of that was in Chicago.
You know, this whole defund the police thing is starting to blow, because you got places that started all of this that are now asking for monies to be re-injected into the police to hire more officers. And now they're saying, you know, it's like, no, we don't want you. We don't want this, that. And then when things get bad and it starts to hit in their backyard, then all of a sudden they want help.
Yeah, you know who the latest on that train is? The mayor of Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
They had a
that's who I was talking about.
Mm-hmm. It was Lori Lightfoot in Chicago. She was the first one on that A train. And then the second one that they've picked out that actually made a public statement about it was the mayor of Seattle. And, I mean, they showed her, like, ripping the police a new one. And now here we are, you know, just that much later. And she's like, oh, we really need the police. We will go out of our way to fund them and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, you know, you have, with this ridiculous defund the police thing, you have caused such mental stress and anguish to
the entire country.
Yes, but especially those men and women in blue.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because when was it? I mean, it hadn't been that long ago. It's been several weeks ago, but you know how I am, being, you know, retired out of fire service. And what do? We go in to get dinner, and there are three police officers sitting there having dinner.
Mm-hmm.
They had no idea, but I told our waiter, I'm like, is that your table too? And I just looked at her and said, well, make sure that you bring me their bill.
Right.
So we can take care of this bill. You know, and when they ask for their bill and they said, well, it's already been taken care of. And they're like, who? And the lady pointed at us. You know, it's not that we did it so that they would know that we did it, because I didn't care if they knew who did it. We did it because they don't get enough thanks.
No.
All they get is attitude.
Exactly. And when they found out who had paid the bill, you know, they didn't fall all over themselves to thank us. They were very polite. And they did thank us, and they let us know that they had had a rough time. You know, it's been rough for them, and that this small act of kindness was quite refreshing to them. And, you know, that's really a shame. To me, anyone who puts their life on the line, I'm talking first responders, I'm talking about military and vets, I'm talking about the police. I'm talking about the National Guard. I'm talking about anybody who has to put their life on the line on a daily basis and does that for a living and does that, you know, yes, it's their career, but you have to be a really special kind of person to be able to say, well, I might not come home today.
Yep.
You know, and for people to kind of spit in the face of that and just get swept up in a ridiculous, stupid movement like defund the police, you know, I mean, to me, that is the most insane thing in the world, because what do these people do when something happens? They're saying defund the police, and they're the first ones to call.
Yeah. Well, it's coming back around, and just like cancel culture, that's something that we hadn't heard a lot about lately, because that's coming back around as well. But, you know, we need to, you know, continue to pray for all the police and everything that's going on and all the violence is going on, and you know, Satan's alive and working in this world, and you know, having faith in the Lord and prayer and praying about these issues are going to, you know, they're going to help. Everything that is going on right now, I mean, even down to this you know, poor athlete is...
Oh, are we talking about Simone Biles?
Yeah, I mean, she's catching so much flack right now for...
Yeah, and people are creating a cause that does not need to be created. Simone Biles is an amazing athlete. I mean, she is incredible to watch. You can't deny it. It is a fact. She is extremely talented, and she has had a very good run during her career. I mean, this is her third Olympics. And, you know, she made comments of she didn't like the way that things were being run in Tokyo. She didn't feel safe. She didn't feel that the protocols were there. There was no audience. And, I mean, if you're a gymnast, the audience is like the people that you're there to wow. You know, I mean, it's not just about you. It's about what the audience gets off this and them seeing these amazing feats and all this kind of stuff. And those athletes, I mean, not just gymnasts, all the athletes, they feed off that. It helps them, you know, really strive to make those things happen.
Well, to do the flips that she was doing off the vault and things.
Oh, my mercy.
Your head has got to be in the game.
Yes.
And if it's not, you're going to end up seriously injured. You could end up injuring yourself to the point where you can't do what you love anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, we've seen that with gymnasts. I mean, we watched that documentary, and I mean, that's a perfect example of how far these children and young adults are pushed to make those things happen. So does it surprise me that the young woman who, you know, has been impressing audiences for years and years and years, that, you know, maybe she is mentally burned out. Maybe she is on the verge of a mental breakdown. That's okay. You know, I mean, the whole thing is about knowing your limitations. And when you've had enough, you've had enough. And, you know, there are people out there saying that, well, you know, this isn't new. I mean, if she knew that she was, you know, having some sort of mental breakdown, she should have stayed home and let some other girl have an opportunity to go to the Olympics. I'm sorry, that's not part of the Olympian mindset. They are strong enough where they feel like they can overcome anything if they just get in the right mindset. So I don't look at her as, you know, letting the country down or taking someone else's spot or anything like that, because I think in the moment she tried to make the best decision to represent the country. And even though she dropped out, she was still there being a leader and supporting her teammates and these young girls who, you know, she's been working with. And that in itself is amazing that she was, you know, able to continue to do that. But the other flip side of that is these people saying that her talents had been capped. Somebody was responsible for keeping her down and not letting her do her thing, and they wouldn't let her, you know, be this awesome person that she is. And I'm sorry, I don't understand that. I don't understand how someone sees it that way.
Well, I think really to me what it boils down to is people not having anything better to do. They want to inject their own brand of, right now, with the way that things are going, not just in this country, but around the world. I mean, there's still things going on down in Cuba.
Oh, yeah.
And with the push in so many different countries for a socialism utopia, there are so many people that feel the need to insert a cause behind whatever happened. You know, it didn't happen to her this way because she's older than the other girls. It didn't happen to her this way because she's so much better than the other girls. It didn't happen to her this way because, you know, the color of her skin. It happened because she made a decision based on what was best for her.
Exactly.
And that's what it needs to be. It needs to be left alone. Yeah. Beyond that.
Exactly. I 100% agree with that because, you know, I would like to think that people could respect her opinion on herself, on her own mental state.
Mm-hmm.
And just give her privacy.
Yep.
I mean, people did the same thing with that Naomi Osana?
Are you talking about the
tennis player?
Yeah.
They did the same thing to her because, you know, she had sort of a mental moment during Wimbledon, and she just dropped out. She just was exhausted. She had been pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And then, of course, what the public sees is that happening, and then they see her all of a sudden on all these covers of magazines, and she's dressed up and she's beautiful and she looks healthy, and you know,
but that was taken weeks prior, months to
years.
Yeah.
And then they came out, and she should not have to have explained herself. You know, I mean, even if they had been taken the next day, if she's mentally burned out, then she's mentally burned out and she deserves a break.
Mm-hmm. You know, all of this that we've been talking about tonight, everything we talk about every week, we have to find a way to make it all make sense, or to make it so that we can find a way to feel better about it or deal with it. And what was my buzzword for tonight?
Faith.
That's right, faith. What I want to spend a little bit of time talking about tonight is about faith, but not just faith, like digging into it, like walking by faith and not sight. And when I talked about, you know, faith, the side of a mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that mustard seed can yield, as we know, hundreds of thousands of seeds off a plant, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, walking by faith and not by sight, we can kind of start in diving, you know, back into a verse from Romans. For whatever was written before was written for our instruction, so that through our endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we may have hope. You can dig a little bit further into that by saying, now these things became examples for us so that we will not desire evil as they did. And by going in that, I'm going to go into a little bit of a story. A story that was in 2 Kings about Elisha. So in 2 Kings 6, starting at verse 8, it says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with the servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not shew me which of us is the king of Israel? And one of his servants says, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that shall speaketh in my bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it will be told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said of him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they will be with us, or more than they be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. So when we talk about that story, the difference between Elisha and his servant was a difference between faith and sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And this statement is found in Paul's context of talking about a Christian's future after death, and what a wonderful future that will be. Being assured of that now, we can have the assurance to walk securely through the problems and difficulties of this life. And in a definition of terms, when we say we, God's faithful people, Christians, the church, and etc. And when we say walk, that's to pursue a course of action or a way of life, how one moves along during the course of his life. And when we say faith, that's believing and trusting God, following his way and will daily. And when we say sight, that's trusting in self and what can be perceived with the human senses. So what does walking by faith involve? Walking by faith involves a change. A change in self. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things. We call this three things: conversion, becoming a Christian, and obeying the gospel. Christians are brand new people on the inside, and the inside controls the outside. At the time of conversion, one does not merely turn over a new leaf. It begins a new life under a new master. You forfeit an old destiny, which is hell, and gain a new destiny, which is heaven. And there are three basic changes that must occur in scriptural conversion. The first is with the heart. That's affection. It must be changed from the love of sin to the love of God. The second is life, and that's conduct. Of a person must be changed from sin to righteousness. And the third is state, which is a relationship. Of a man must be changed from the realm of Satan's rule to the realm of God's kingdom. And how is this done? Through obeying the gospel of Christ. Hearing the gospel brings faith, and faith changes the heart. Believing the gospel leads to repentance. Repentance of sins changes life, and confessions of Christ changes one's allegiance. Then there comes baptism. And that's for the remission of sins. It changes one's state or relationship. He's not guilty anymore, not lost anymore, saved from past sins, and you've been added to the Lord's church by the Lord himself, from Acts 2:47. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So if you're going to be walking by faith, that involves knowing, believing, and obeying the right things. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." The path that seems right may offer many options and require few sacrifices. Easy choices should make us take a second look. The right choice often requires hard work and self-sacrifice. So don't be enticed by apparent shortcuts that seem right and popular, which are things we've been talking about tonight, but are not found in the pages of God's holy word, the Bible. Obeying the right book, not the writings of men, but the Bible, the mind of God in print. Many human creeds, but there's only one Bible. And obeying the right doctrine, Matthew 15:9, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit expressively says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to the deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." 2 John 9 says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." In 1 Timothy 4:6, "If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of the faith and of good doctrine that you have followed, worshiping in the right way." So walking by faith involves maintaining a focus. So as long as Peter was focused on Jesus, he was successfully walking on the waters of the Sea of Galilee. But when he began to focus on the winds and the waves, he began to sink. What happened? He changed his focus. He lost his focus, his faith wavered when he realized what he was doing. We will not be walking on water, but we walk through tough situations. If we focus on the waves of difficult circumstances around us and take our eyes off the one whom we serve, we too may begin to despair and sink. In order to maintain your faith when situations are difficult, focus on the power of God rather than your own inadequacies. Hebrews 13:5 says, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Although we start out with good intentions, sometimes our faith falters. This doesn't mean we have failed, because when Peter's faith faltered, he reached out to Christ. the only one who could help. He could have reached out to the boat, but it was too late to help. He could have reached out to the 11, but they could not help. And although he was afraid, he still looked to Christ, and Christ reached out to help him overcome his situation. So when you grow apprehensive about the troubles around you and begin to doubt your ability to see through it, reach out to the Father who loved you so much that he gave his own son to die for you. And remember, do not take your eyes off God. There's not another. Do not take your eyes off the Bible. It's the only book God has given. Do not take your eyes off the gospel. It is God's power to salvation. In Romans, 1:16, it talks about not taking your eyes off the church. All are saved. All that are the saved are in the church. Do not take your eyes off of worship. Our God must be worshiped. Do not take your eyes off of faithfulness. The devil will lead you astray. And do not take your eyes off of truth. Only it can make us free. John 8:32. Do not take your eyes off of heaven. It is the finish line for the race we are running. So don't lose your focus. Keep your focus on the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. From John 14:6. So in everything that's going on in this world, don't ever lose your faith and your focus as a Christian. The winds and waves of a religiously divided world will distract and confuse you. The winds and the waves of a man-made churches will distract and confuse you. The winds and waves of human creed and man-written religious doctrines will distract and confuse you. The winds and waves of self-proclaimed religious leaders will distract and confuse you. The winds and waves of Satan's efforts to reclaim your soul will distract and confuse you. The winds and waves of large numbers of believing and teach certain things will distract and confuse you. The winds and waves of discouragement and disappointments will distract and confuse you. Keep your eyes and faith focused on your Heavenly Father. So walking by faith involves a change. It involves knowing, believing, and following the right things. And it involves maintaining focus. So now you need to ask yourself, are you walking by sight? Or are you walking by faith? Faith honors God, and God honors faith. So I'm going to give you a little illustration. So one night a house caught fire, and a young boy was forced to flee to the roof. The father stood on the ground below with his outstretched arms, calling to his son, "Jump, I'll catch you." He knew the boy had to jump to save his life, and all the boy could see, however, was the flame, smoke, and the blackness. As can be imagined, he was afraid to leave the roof. His father kept yelling, "Jump, I will catch you." But the boy protested, "Daddy, I can't see you." The father replied, "But I can see you, and that's all that matters." God can see you, and that is all that matters. Have faith to do what is right. That's the God's plan for man's salvation right there. Does any of that make sense? Involving everything we've been talked about and how people get caught up in so many different things and how people can be deceived and get caught and get their eyes pulled away from the prize.
Absolutely.
That's, to me, that's what matters right there. All that news, all the other stuff we were talking about, It's bad, it's sad, it's crazy, and it's going on around us every day, and it just keeps getting worse. I've said this before. You know I hate the term woke. But if anything needs to be woke in this world right now, the Christians need to be woke. We need to be out spreading the word and building up people that can walk by faith and not sight. Because remember, that little mustard seed is so small, but it can produce hundreds of thousands to millions of other seeds. So if you plant your little seed of faith in Christ, how bountiful do you think that your tree will be? That's ultimately the thing to think about right there. And you know that us starting this show, the main thing, the target, yes, is to spread the word of Christ and to take everything that's going on in this world and to help make sense of it through Scripture. But it's about helping to teach people how to get to Christ, how to get to salvation. You know, reading the Bible is important. You don't want to start at the end. You need to start at the beginning. You need to read the Bible from the beginning because you will not understand the end if you don't know the story leading up to it, just like any great book. But the one thing about the Bible is this 100% true. And every week, we talk about how important it is to have a personal relationship with Christ and to be saved, to lead people to salvation. You know, there are certain things that you need to do, and people need to understand that in order to be saved, you don't have to be in a room full of people. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to have a preacher do it for you or a priest or a minister. This is about your personal relationship with Christ. And the first thing that you have to be willing to do is admit that you are a sinner. And you have to be willing to turn from your sin. And this is what the word repent means. You must believe that Jesus Christ died for you and he was buried and rose again from the dead to pay the price for your sins. And you must pray to invite Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. If you've never prayed this prayer, you can open up your heart and you can pray it right now. There may be somebody listening right now tonight or later on the podcast, and they've never said the salvation prayer. Just say this prayer out loud. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you're a child of God. Reach out to people that you know that are Christians. Reach out, find a church, find a small group, get plugged in, start reading your Bible. Ask questions. Talk to God. Open up with prayer. Because prayer is the only true hope and what's going to help us to deal and to make sense of all this. What you got to say over there?
I'm like reflecting. I'm just thinking about stuff.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of light bounce off of you over there across the studio. You're quite reflective.
Does that mean I'm sparkly?
Yeah, you're sparkly.
I'm sparkly.
You know, we so look forward to this time every week and the time that we get to spend with everyone. And we definitely appreciate everyone listening and, you know, joining us every week. You know, remember to pray for the people around you. Remember to pray for government. You don't have to agree with everything that's going on, but the Bible commands that we pray for our government. And a fervent prayer is that, you know, the Lord makes himself real to everyone and helps, you know, them to build a relationship so that, you know, better decisions can be made for everybody. As the weeks go on, things are going to get worse before they get better. And having faith is the one thing. You know, you got your eyes on the prize. That's the long game. We all know what happens in the end in the Bible. That's the long game. But the short game is what you're doing right now to be impactful as a Christian, to help win others and help spread the word. But we really appreciate you listening. You got anything else over there to say tonight?
Shout out.
Shout out.
To Skylar.
Shout out to Skylar.
I need like a sound so that I can be like, Skylar.
Skylar is my brother from another mother. We're tight, man. We go together like pinky rings and pimps. I mean, we are tight.
Oh, I'm sure he's laughing now.
But we're gonna have Skylar on the show one night.
We need to
get his point of view on a lot of things.
Skylar's awesome.
And you know, if you have something that you want to talk to about, prayer requests, you're looking for more information, how can they reach out to us over there?
They can reach us at Christian Polititalk. That's PolititaLK at gmail.com.
That's right. ChristianPolititalk@gmail.com.
Please send us an email.
We appreciate everybody joining. Hey, we pray for all of you. We hope you pray for us. Hope everybody has a great week. Stay safe out there. And we'll see you here next week, right here on Christian Polititalk. Everybody have a good evening.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't.